Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Andrew today on More Than Money. And Andrew, we talk a lot about the process of retirement, and the quality of retirement often depends not just on money. I mean, everybody tends to focus on that, but it is around health, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, health, physical health can come in a number of sort of different formats. It can be ambulatory, but certainly mental health is a big part of what we all talk about, cognitive function. And cognitive function tends to change
as we age. There's a lot of talk about that in the media and different ways of following cognitive health and what you can or can't do, whether that be online, using different apps or whatever else. But it is definitely a new subject that's being bridged more and more frequently.
Well, and the question is, can you work on it, right? Mm-hmm. Is this something you can do, you know, can you do mental weights and improve it? We're going to find out, because we've got Dr. Anthony Levinson. He's an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral neurosciences at McMaster University. Dr. Levinson, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's talk about what parts of cognitive function, first of all, change as we age. What can we expect as a normal part of aging?
Well, there are, when we talk about cognitive function, we often divide it into a variety of different functions. So we talk about memory, the ability to learn new things, retain old things. We talk about attention as another key domain of cognitive function. There's one called executive function, which is really more complex, multitasking, problem solving, organizing, and sequencing. And then there's visual spatial ability. Sometimes people divide things into other ones, but with age, things like processing speed, some memory functions, learning new or complicated information or complicated tasks, we consider it to be relatively normal that some of those abilities decline a little bit with normal aging. There are other things that don't. So, for example, your verbal knowledge, your comprehension or understanding, building up, increasing your vocabulary, those are domains that are relatively uninfluenced by aging, that tend to keep going strong through your older years.
It's interesting. I'm going to ask, a personal question, because I need to know if I need to go to the emergency room right away. But my ability to focus as I get older, I'm finding it harder, and I can't just tell if there's more things going on or if this is a part of normal aging, or literally, do I need to go down to the hospital right now?
Some of that is just you. No, I'm kidding. Some of that is definitely a component of normal aging, and you know, the complexity of the tasks when you've got a lot. We call it cognitive load. When you're doing a radio broadcast, you've got people annoyingly talking in your ear. You're trying to stay on task. You're focusing on your guests or questions, answers. So there's a little bit of that attention and cognitive processing speed that does decline a bit with age. And then depending on, you know, the pile-on of how many tasks, have you had a good night's sleep?
Yeah.
There's other functions, how much caffeine was in that coffee this morning, which can sometimes help with attention. So again, it is going to depend. A lot of it does decline a little bit with age, and so you just have to maybe try and balance how many things you're doing at once, how demanding the tasks are. Can you attend or keep your focus on fewer things so that you're not noticing some of what might be a natural decline in there?
That's a very polite way, Andrew, for saying sorry that you're going to have to put up with this with me. Yeah.
Well, I was more interested to find out, you know, you brought up the idea of sleep and having more sleep or less sleep. And, you know, what's good for any adult, for that matter, and how much sleep one should get? Because I get different sort of reports from everybody. Now, I'm unlike Dave. I don't have a problem in that sector, but I still want to know.
Well, it differs a little bit for everybody, and there's some age-related changes in sleep, but probably 7-8 hours is a good ballpark figure for people. But then it also has to do with the quality of the sleep. So a lot of people may get, you know, 7-8 hours, but they're up throughout the night, so it's pretty fragmented, and they're not necessarily getting the most restful, restorative sleep, and that can definitely impact on some of the cognitive functions during the day. So, you know, often suggest to people, if their quality of their sleep seems quite poor and they're sort of waking up tired and they're feeling tired throughout the day, then it's probably worth seeing their doctor and getting checked out, because there are certain sleep disorders that can impact on your cognitive function as well. So, you know, I think with cognitive functions, day to day, you may not notice some of these subtle declines, or, you know, sometimes people will forget, you know, a name or a birthday or something like that. If it's not impacting seriously on your day-to-day function, your workplace, you know, your occupational function, or your relationships, it's probably not the kind of thing that you need to dash down to the emergency department. What we see is people who are beginning to develop more serious issues, you know, they're noticing that these are impacting on day-to-day function. They're having trouble with banking. They're having trouble remembering names of immediate family member. They're forgetting appointments or forgetting to take medicines. And those are more worrisome declines in cognitive function. Often people notice it most with a memory decline. And those are definitely things that should prompt one to go and have a more thorough medical assessment.
There's an old saying that says, if you don't use it, you lose it. I want to know if that's true. And if so, can we train our brain? Can you actually do exercises that will help stimulate cognitive function?
I'm going to say that by and large, that is a fairly true statement. We have an online health information portal at McMaster University called the McMaster Optimal Aging Portal. And one of the things that we do as part of that free health information website is we review the world's scientific literature, and we try and identify the most credible, trusted, best evidence scientific articles. And there was a recent article that was published looking at whether or not cognitive training might help to either slow some of these age-related declines or maybe help maintain some of those cognitive functions we were speaking about earlier. And really, the bottom line is that cognitive-based training, which involves really very specific types of training, kind of deliberate practice exercises or training programs, seems to be able to help. There was the bottom line from looking at really over 30 different studies with over 6,000 different healthy older adults says that using it, doing these kinds of practice exercises or training programs can have a significant impact to moderately improve or certainly maintain overall cognitive function.
Yep.
And then it looks like you can focus on specific areas like attention or visual spatial ability if you do particular kinds of training programs or practice exercises. So yeah, I'm going to say using it is good, and probably some of these specific kinds of training programs seem to be able to build up the brain muscle, if you like.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good place. We'll have to leave it at that, but I think that that is a good way to look at it, right? It does have to be used, stimulated somehow. And Andrew, we talk about that a lot in quality of retirement. A lot of people, you know, used to define retirement as leaving work.
Well, it's not just that. Like,
right.
Brain function is absolutely monstrous and huge in regards to a lot of different things. But, you know, just being physically active, not only just, you know, mentally active, but physically active is so important in retirement. Because if you're not doing something, you're going to lose it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Dr. Levinson, we're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank you very much for your input today.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thanks very much.
We've been joined by Dr. Anthony Levinson. He's Associate Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neurosciences at McMaster University. And, you know, you hear about these things, the luminosities of the world, right, Andrew, or doing something in retirement to continue to stimulate your brain, have that positive stress, right?
Yep.
to accomplish something. And we see that anecdotally all the time. We're not research scientists, but within our own client base, we see that is a very effective way of maintaining a quality of life in retirement.
Well, quality of life, thinking about what you're going to want to do, making sure you're doing something day to day, and not only physically, but mentally acting upon it.
Yeah.
Those are all good things and got to keep forward on.
No, that's right. Well, we're going to talk about sort of that whole concept of lifestyle, right? Not just brain health, but physical health, the four buckets, right? Health is one of those. We're going to talk about that on Tuesday. Why don't we remind everybody about that upcoming seminar?
We do have a seminar coming on Tuesday. That's Tuesday, August 21st. That's this Tuesday coming, 7 p.m. at the Oak Ridge Co-op Wine and Spirits.
To register, you need to give us a call at 966-8400. You can go to our website at pkag.ca. That would be great. Now, I want you to stick around for the break because we're going to talk about communication. We're going to talk with a communication specialist about how to have some of those very tough and uncomfortable conversations with your family that you may be faced with as you move into retirement and you age. Stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.